Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
So I'm excited again about sharing today on really the topic, the theme that the Lord has brought to my heart. And that is the kingdom realm. And understanding that the kingdom, it's a privilege and it's really a gift that we can actually enter into the kingdom realm in the here and now. It is forever. We will be with him forever where he reigns and rules. But it's also a privilege that as believers, we can actually even enter into it in this present moment in time. So in that, I spoke last week that adversities can be a gift. Because adversities and challenges and difficulties that we go through can actually be a doorway into the realm of the kingdom. And Paul and Barnabas, as you remember last week in Acts 14, 22, they went back to the city. Paul had just been stoned, and they went back to the city to encourage the believers, and they said this: through many tribulations, hardships, and adversities, we must enter the kingdom of God. I mean, what a way to encourage one another, you know? It's okay to go through the hard stuff because we get to enter into the kingdom of God. And you're like, woohoo, you know? I mean, it's like, but it was an encouragement to them because they were able to enter into a realm that is our Father's kingdom and where there's joy and there's peace. So in that, it is an encouragement that the believers were giving one another back then, that through the difficult times, we get to enter into the kingdom. So, and something was brought to my attention last week that I forgot to mention, that when I was talking about the camels going through the eye of the needle at the birthplace of Christ in Bethlehem, there's a place called the Eye of the Needle on the side of the building, and that is actually where camels go through, and they have to take off all of their, you know, their saddles and everything so that they can get down and get in through this little eye. Well, the other aspect of it that I forgot to mention is that the camels have to bow low. They have to get on their knees. And there's a humility of recognizing as we are entering in and pressing into the kingdom of God, we're coming with a humble heart and we're going low. We're humbling ourselves before our God and our King that we might enter in to the very realm of our Father's kingdom. And last week we discussed that in the early church in Luke 16, 16, that it says that the early church was everyone was pressing into it. So it was a living reality that everyone in the body of Christ at that time were pressing into the realm of the kingdom. So let's read that. It says, "For the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time the kingdom of God has been preached." And it says, "And everyone is pressing into it." Everyone. So it was something that was desirable. It was something that the body of Christ wanted to be a part of. And so with everything within them, they were pressing into the kingdom. So with everyone doing it, what was so appealing about it that they were all pressing into the kingdom? What were they experiencing that made it so appealing to them? Well, one of the aspects that became apparent, and this is what I spoke about last week, is that the power of God is available to all of us. It is the power of God that makes all things possible. It is in Him that we're able to see the enemy defeated, and knowing that all things are possible to them who believe. So in that, it is a realm that Paul even talked about, that it is the power that works within you in Ephesians 3. So this was a key that they discovered in God's kingdom, is that all power and authority is available unto them. So in that, we're operating and we're living in a realm that is not like, oh God, please help me. It is God's power is available to help you, and it's there to defeat the enemy in your life. So 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." And that's what we highlighted last week. So if you didn't hear my message last week, I'm just kind of recapping a few things. Please go on the podcast and listen to it. But I want you to understand that there are two realms of the kingdom. And Matthew 12:28 says this. Matthew 12:28, turn with me there. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So there's a reality of the power of the kingdom that comes upon you, and in that you're able to see the works of the kingdom. Scripture says that we will lay our hands on the sick, and they what? Shall be healed. We will cast out demons in His name. When you're doing the power works of the kingdom, that is the kingdom of God coming upon you to do the power ministry. It is God's power flowing through you to do the extraordinary as you step out. Secondly, Luke 17:20 says this. "Now when He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see it here, see it there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So we have two realms of the kingdom. And it can be explained this way. The kingdom of God is an outward rule with an inward reign. Do you understand? Outward rule with an inward reign. So the kingdom is upon you and it is within you. And in that, we're experiencing the realms of the kingdom in two ways. But why is the kingdom, why is it so important to talk about? You know, the kingdom, when you read the scriptures, every time you go through the gospels, begin to underline the word kingdom. Listen how many times Jesus talks about the kingdom, and He describes it through the parables. If you read through Matthew, as He's unpacking the parables, He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is like. And He would use many parables to describe it. But why I believe it is so important, and at this moment that we focus on the kingdom, is that everything around us in the natural realm is being shaken right now. Has anybody experienced the shaking that's going on around us? I mean, we're experiencing the shaking in the political arena. We're experiencing the shaking in the financial. We're experiencing shakings everywhere. Wherever we look, there's a shaking going on. You can feel it all around us. And there's nothing certain in this world. And so in that, we need a secure and safe place where we can dwell in the peace and the joy inwardly, even though the world is shaking all around us. There has to be a place where we can feel secure and safe, knowing that He's with us and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We got to remember, we're not in this world, but we're of the world. Now, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. Let me put it that way. So in that, we need to learn to walk victoriously in this life as we live in Him. We can't be wringing our hands and worrying about everything that's going on around us, because it's going to keep shaking. It's going to keep going on. And in that, we can't be always anxious and worrying about what's going to happen. So we live on this earth with two parallel universes. There's two parallel universes on this earth. And there's the kingdom of the world, and there's the kingdom of God. So I'd like to watch a short video clip that really describes these two kingdoms. So let's go ahead, if we could turn off the lights real quick and show this.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from truth. What truth? That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Wow, what a video to show on Sunday morning, huh? I'm offering you is the truth. You know, really, the Matrix is actually very biblical. And it says that you can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. But this world has been pulled over your eyes. The kingdom of this world to blind you from the truth. Let me show you why it's biblical. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, that the God of this age has blinded you, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Actually, the truth is, the God of this world has blinded us from the truth and the reality of the light of the gospel of the kingdom. And until those that repent of this reign and this the rule of this kingdom of this world, when we repent, the scripture says that those that are born again, those that are saved, shall be able to see the kingdom. So the reality is that God has put it within you, hardwired you on the inside as a born-again believer to be able to see and understand and know the kingdom. It is a realm that God is wanting us to walk in so that we're not in the prison of our mind, but we've been set free. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. You've been brought in and living in a realm that is not of this realm. So in that, the good news is that in Matthew 13, let's look there, Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. I want to show you where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And basically, he's describing something that's going on where they were not able to see the kingdom or understand the kingdom. But Jesus says, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And also that your eyes would be opened that you might see and understand this realm. So Jesus declares in Matthew 13:3, he declares to his disciples that they're able to see the kingdom. Verse 3, and then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And then he shares this parable where the parable of the seed being sown on the wayside, on the stony places, on the thorny places, and then on good ground. And then verse 10, he says this, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And this, well, listen what he says. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. The world, as believers, we've been given the privilege to see, experience, and know the kingdom of God in the here and now. Because Jesus said in 3:3, John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto them, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When we are born anew, born afresh, giving new life in Christ, we have been given, we've been hardwired with the ability to be able to see the evidence of the kingdom all around us. But last week we talked about the power of the kingdom and why that is so important that we enter into the power. And this week I want to talk about the kingdom dwelling in your inner life. Because remember, Jesus says that the kingdom is within you. And why is this so important? Because we need an anchor to our souls that holds us securely when the storms are raging and shaking all around us. We need an inner life that we can dwell in the presence of our King who reigns and rules, because there's a reality of something that's going on all around us. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. And in that, I want us to look at Hebrews 12. 12 verses 25 through 29. Hebrews 12. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him, were warned them on the earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. For we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. It is a living reality that we can walk in the here and now. And the purpose of this shaking that God is doing here on this earth is for one purpose. It's to remove those things which can be shaken, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, so that the evidence of the kingdom remains. So we're receiving a kingdom on the inside which cannot be shaken. And why? Because his throne is established forever. And his throne is based on, as Psalm 89:14 says this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The reign and the rule and the dominion of God in his kingdom is going to last forever. There's not going to be any changes. And in that, it is established and it will reign and rule throughout eternity. So we are receiving a kingdom in the here and now on the inner man that will not be shaken, even though the world is violently shaking all around us. And in that, we're receiving a kingdom. When you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Here's the earth. You are the earth. On earth as it is in heaven. And in that, you're receiving, you're praying his kingdom to come on the interior of your life. And in that, you're to experience something. And there's three things that you're receiving when you're receiving the kingdom. I want you to write these down. Let's look at Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The first thing that you're receiving with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit is that you're receiving the righteousness of Christ. You're receiving his righteousness that you might walk in his righteousness. And the scripture says that the righteousness of Christ is ours, for we are righteous in Christ. It is the great exchange. I call it the glorious exchange. He took my sin and bore my sin and became sin, and he gave me, he basically imputed to me his righteousness. So I am of the righteousness of Christ. It's been imputed to me. And in that, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you're able to walk out the very nature of Jesus in your own personal life. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to walk like him, think like him, respond like him, obey like him. Because the scripture says there's no good thing that the Father will, there's no good thing that he'll withhold from you. There's no good thing, because those that walk upright before him, all the blessings that are through Christ are ours. So in that, Ephesians 4:24 says this, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Your new self is created in righteousness, and you're able to walk out the righteousness of Christ in your daily life, where there's evidence that your life is that you're following the Lamb. You're doing what He says. Jesus says, as I am in this world, so you are. We are to be like Him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to walk in this new life in Christ. Secondly, while everything is being shaken, we are receiving a kingdom of peace. The peace of Christ can reign on the inside of us. And in that, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. It's a gift. So you're able to abide in peace when the storms of life are raging all around us. You're able to be at peace. Whatever is going on around us, you're at peace, because the interior life of the kingdom is peace. Mark 4, 35 through 41. I want us to look at this. I love this incredible story. I've been on the Sea of Galilee, and I was there where pretty much where they say the boat was, that the storm hit the boat. But going out on the Sea of Galilee is just such a beautiful area. But there's a ravine down near the mountain range that it's a gap where when the winds hit it just right, they come down this area, down the mountain, and it's like the wind goes through a funnel, and then it goes right out over the lake. So all of a sudden, storms can kick up so quickly over the lake, and the waves can really get big on this lake that really isn't that. It's about 9 miles in width. But the reality is this lake can really cause some turbulent waters when storms hit it. So Mark 4 says this, on the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Listen, these were seasoned fishermen who been out on the water all their lives. And for them to be, well, let's just say freaking out at this moment that they're perishing, it had to have been a pretty big storm. The waves had to really been kicked up for these seasoned fishermen to be afraid at this very moment. It says, though, in verse 39, and then he arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I mean, this picture is just amazing. You got the waves splashing over the boat. You got the wind, gale force wind. You got the disciples all in a big commotion, fearing for their lives, and Jesus is sleeping on a pillow. I mean, it's just such an incredible picture. He's sleeping. And he stands up and says, peace, be still. You cannot give away something that you don't have already on the inside. He wants us to learn that there's an abiding place in the peace of the presence of his kingdom on the inside, that we can cultivate this peace and then be at peace all around us. So in that, it's an inner reality that Yeah, there's a lot going on in this nation right now, and there's a whole lot shaking. And in that, he's wanting you to know it's all going to be okay. He wants you to rest in the realm of his Father's kingdom on the inside and be at peace. You know, peace really, it could be a weapon even against the enemy. Because it says that the God of peace shall crush Satan under what? Under your feet. Well, you can't crush anything if you're not in peace. You got to be in peace and rest in peace and be able to even give away peace. You know, there are those that, you know, I can maybe going through an anxious or a very difficult time. And then have you ever come and met somebody or been with them and all of a sudden they start talking to you and it's like all of a sudden just peace. It's like they're carrying peace. Well, that's what we are to be to this world. We're to be carriers of the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ because we're walking in peace. See, you can't give away peace if you're not in peace. If you're anxious and worried and in fear, you can't give it away. So he wants us to cultivate a life of living in the realm of peace on the inside of our lives. And thirdly, the kingdom of God is joy. Acts 13, verses 49 through 52. 13, 49 through 52. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and they instigated persecution against Paul and Barnabas. We read about them last week. When Paul got stoned, they thought he was dead. And then he rises up in the power of God and walks back into the city to preach the gospel to those that just stoned him. And now they're in another city. So they're in another city, and they instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their district. And I love this. And they shook the dust off their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, which is another place he got stoned at. So the disciples, it says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I mean, that just does not make sense. I mean, you're getting the what knocked out of you, and all of a sudden, they're filled with joy. I mean, overflowing joy. It is a joy unspeakable. It is a joy that is like, this is a blast. You know, I mean, you got to think that there's a joy that the Spirit of the living God can give you on the inside that can just make you laugh at things. It's like, this doesn't make any sense, but I like what I got right now. You know, and that is a gift of the Holy Spirit to give you joy when you're going through a hard time. It's like, it just breaks the ice. It's like, it lifts the pressure off of you. When you can laugh in the middle of a situation that's very difficult, it is like medicine to your soul. And joy is something that is given to us, and it gives us strength. Because the scripture says that the joy of the Lord is our what? Our strength. So joy is an amazing aspect of the kingdom realm on the inside. And it's something that God wants us to dwell in and live in the fullness of it. Psalm 16:11 says this. David says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy." I mean, that really doesn't make logical sense. That you could have a lot of stuff going on the outside, but on the inside, you're joyful. But you know what? It doesn't have to make sense. Because it's a supernatural gift from God. And it's something that we're to receive so that we can go through hard times. So I want you to understand that I've experienced joy. And actually what happens a lot of times is that the joy will surprise you. Just when you never thought it was going to be there, the joy of the Lord was there. We've actually, Eliza and I have had two times when we've been moving, going from Wilmington, we moved to Atlanta when we were here and we were homeless and we had to find a new home. Long story. But right before there was a breakthrough, we both remember the day when we were filled with such joy that we began to laugh at the situation because the door was not opening up. I mean, listen, when we were in Wilmington and the Lord spoke to us about going to Atlanta to help with a church plant, we were there and we were actually, our whole family lived with Eliza's mom. And so the children all had rooms, but we didn't. Our room was the living room. So when you walk through the front door, there was our bed right there. Like, you know, UPS comes to the door, knocks, you know, and we're in bed. And it's like, hello, UPS is here. You know, it's like there was no privacy. And it was like, this has got to come to an end. I said, God, please rescue me from this situation. So I was like, I can't live in this living room anymore. So the reality was that, you know, we were waiting on a job. It wasn't coming through at the right time. And everything had to fall in place. The new job, the new home, the new church, you know, it all had to come in alignment. Well, it wasn't happening. And then all of a sudden, I'll never forget, I was driving down the road and I was just thinking about, oh, Lord, this is so difficult. This is so challenging. I can't live in this house anymore. And then all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord just filled my heart. And I started laughing to where I was just crying. I was like, oh, my goodness. I just started laughing. I didn't know what was going on. I was surprised by it. At the very same time, the joy of the Lord filled Eliza's heart. So we came together, and we were both a ball of laughs. I mean, we were just laughing. It was like, this is so wonderful. And we didn't know, but the next day, I was offered a job. The joy of the Lord was kind of like a breakthrough of the moment and allowed us just to take a deep breath and laugh and enjoy it. I got the job. We found a house in 10 days, and in 14 days, we moved, got a new job, and we moved into our house in 14 days, and Eliza was pregnant at the time as well. Come on, doing all that in 14 days and going from one state to the next is a big miracle. But it was the Holy Spirit just filling our hearts with just this like joy unspeakable. So in that, it is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we need it. It is a way of lifting the pressure off of you. But we have to enter into it by faith on the inside, because the kingdom of God dwells within you. And the essence and the reality of the kingdom is that it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the understanding of this realm that we live in. Remember, it's an outward rule where the power of God is experienced, and it's an inward reign where we cultivate a life walking in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:4 says this. I love this. This is the easy read version, ERV. Always be filled with joy in the Lord. And I will say it again, Be filled with joy. It's something that you can take a drink of and be filled up with the oil of joy no matter what you're going through. And we must remember this, that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is where Christ reigns and rules on the throne of your heart. The king is reigning and ruling on the inside of you. He's living on the inside of you in a way that is victorious. And you're receiving this righteousness, his righteousness, this peace and this joy in the inner life. Why? So that we might learn to live victoriously in this life, although everything around us is shaking right now. The outside does not determine what's going on the inside. And in that, we're able to walk in the presence of the Lord and be with him where he talks to us, like in the cool of the day in the garden with Adam and Eve, when God walked with them and spoke with them and loved them and he was present with them. So in this understanding, God is saying to us, it has been given to us to see and know and experience the kingdom. It has been given to us, not to the world. For they don't see it. They don't understand it. Because they're walking in a parallel universe. It's called the kingdom of this world. We're walking in our Father's kingdom, which is the kingdom of our God and our King. And in that, we are becoming a peculiar people. Do you know that makes you peculiar? That makes you, they can't figure you out. You're peculiar. But you're walking in a way that becomes attractive to those that are walking in turbulence and are walking in darkness. Because they see the light of Christ inside of you. They recognize there's an authority there. They recognize there is a peace there. They recognize something that's not in them. And in that, they're drawn to what they see in you. And we're able to be salt and light in this world. To a world that's perishing, we're able to walk in a realm that is not of this world. I'm excited about this, church, because I believe that God is unpacking the mysteries, the mysterion of the kingdom. Because Paul says, I pray. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That the eyes of your heart, he would open the eyes of your heart that you might see. That you might see this realm that we, it's really our inheritance. It's an honor that we get to live in this in the here and now. We don't have to wait till we arrive in our forever kingdom with him, where we live forever in peace and joy. He's giving us a foretaste where we get to walk in it now. And we get to be those individuals that are hope to a world that has much despair. I am just so excited about this because I'm learning that when I'm going through challenges, it's not the time to run away from God. It's the time to run into God. When you're going through difficult and hard situations, it's the moment when you run into his arms and not away from him. And you don't shut down on the inside. You run in and let him embrace you and love you as a son and a daughter because you were born to be in the family. And in that, I'm learning as I press in to the realm of the kingdom, if I'm going through a difficult time, I'm entering into the very thing I need. I'm needing that love, the kingdom of his beloved son. I'm needing the righteousness and knowing that I am right with God. I need to know that there's a peace that goes beyond all understanding, that is able to guard my mind and my heart. I need this joy. Why don't I keep walking around looking like I just ate a lemon, you know? I need this interior life to be growing on the inside of me and helping me to walk in a way that is not of this world. I'm so grateful to the Lord Jesus, and I'm so looking forward to be with him forever and ever. But until that day, I'm going to do all I can to practice the kingdom, to live in the kingdom, to operate in the kingdom, to see the power of God manifested through our lives. But it's a privilege that we have as children, because we've been adopted into Papa's world where he lives and reigns. Amen. Well, let's stand. I want us just to... I want you to think about this as we end. It says in Luke 16:16 that it says that everyone was pressing into the kingdom. If it was something so desirable that everyone was doing it, I think we need to be asking ourselves, why am I not doing it? Why am I not pressing in to the Father's kingdom, where I can experience the fullness of him? Father, I thank you and I praise you that, Lord, you are victorious. And I thank you and praise you that even though this world is shaking, and that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, so that those things that are shaking will be removed, because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So God, I thank you and praise you that, Father, we will walk on a plane in this life that is a privilege and an honor. Will we get to do it with you and be with you? And Lord, we invite you to come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in our lives. Lord, we welcome your kingdom, and we choose to enter into your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is our inheritance. This is a gift to us. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for this living reality that we can live in the here and now. And Father, I praise you and I thank you. And I'm asking, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, you would move upon everyone's heart here. And God, I'm asking if there be any need in our midst that needs to be met by you, Lord Jesus, that today no one would leave this room with a need that is being unmet. Because all things are possible to them who believe. And I'm asking today, Lord, no matter what anyone is going through, that they would feel a touch from you and knowing that they've been with you. And I'm asking today, Lord, in faith, that you would touch each and everyone's heart. I thank you and I praise you, Father, for this wonderful church. And I'm asking right now that you would just move in your power and do as only you can do. We worship you and praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've forgiven us, that you've adopted us, that you've given us a new life, that you've given us your righteousness, that you've given us your peace, your joy. You've given us all that we need. All the blessings are yes and amen. And Lord, we worship you and praise you this day. And I'm asking today, Lord, that if there's anyone here that needs a touch from you, that, Lord, you would touch them now. And I thank you in Jesus' holy name.